I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
That sounds like one of my dogs yelling at me to throw a tennis ball.
I like a dog that knows what it wants, but I do question your use of the verb yelling.
Yeah, that's what my wife and I have started calling it when our lab barks at us because she wants to play. She just turned 6 and seems to have more energy now than she did a couple of years ago.
You know, we have a dog that just turned 6 as well, but she has no interest in tennis balls. She loves potato chips, though.
I mean, I think they all do, don't they?
They do. You're right.
But I try to remind myself every once in a while to appreciate being yelled at. Because I'm sure in the next year or two, hopefully maybe 3 or 4, she'll start to do a little more sleeping and a little less playing. Not that those freeloaders don't sleep enough already.
Oh, come on. Don't be so hard. We had a dog that died a couple of years ago, actually. He could only sleep when he was right next to me with his head on my shoulder. I miss that guy.
And I'm sure a lot of people out there have pets they wish they could have spent more time with or are living with pets they hope to spend as much time with as they can. That's why Loyal, a biotech company, is developing drugs to help extend the health span and lifespan of dogs.
And I spoke with Brennan McKenzie, he's the director of veterinary medicine for Loyal, about this project. And you just heard from one of our producers, Chris Blake. I'm your host, Mike Rogers. This is Something Offbeat. Brennan, tell me a little bit about Loyal.
So Loyal is a biotechnology company. We're based in the Bay Area in San Francisco. And our goal is to develop medications through the FDA approval process, so prescription drugs that extend healthy lifespan in dogs. So people can have more time with their dogs and their dogs can feel good during that time.
This sounds like something the dog owners have probably been dreaming of for years. How did the idea come about?
So the credit all goes to our CEO, Celine Haliua. As she tells the story, you know, early on in her life, was disappointed at the realization that, you know, medicine can't solve every problem, that a lot of age-associated diseases are really challenging to treat, and that maybe prevention would be a more effective strategy. And so she got interested in the idea of targeting some of the underlying processes of aging in order to try to prevent the bad health outcomes that a lot of us and our pets experience as we get older. You know, we tend to think of aging as this inevitable, immutable fact of the universe. But the reality is aging is just biology. It's just a set of things that happen in the body like any other health issue. And if we can study it and understand it, no reason why we can't develop therapies to improve outcomes.
You know what aging is? That's when you realize that the days are really dragging, but the years are flying by. I think I've definitely entered that phase of my life.
I agree. They say time goes faster as you get older. I'm still just 34, but time definitely moves faster now than it did, say, when you're in college or in your early 20s.
Stick around, kid. But we're not alone in feeling this way.
That's true. In fact, the median age in the U.S. has been creeping up as baby boomers get older and birth rates have declined.
So what is this aging that we're all experiencing? I asked McKenzie to break it down for us.
Aging is a very complicated process. There are lots of things that happen at once. The way I describe it to veterinarians and doctors is it's what we call a modifiable risk factor. We all have the idea that, you know, if you're overweight or if you smoke or drink or don't exercise, it's going to increase your risk of getting a variety of diseases. Those things aren't the cause of those diseases, but they're risk factors. And if you change them, then your risk goes down and you can be healthier. And aging is just like that. It's a whole set of physiological processes that happen in your body, and it makes you more likely to get sick as you get older. It makes you more likely to get a wide range of diseases that seem on the surface like they have nothing to do with each other. You know, Alzheimer's and cancer and arthritis all seem like they're different diseases. But the common thread is we become more vulnerable to those things as we age because of all of these processes that occur at the cellular and molecular level and in our tissues. The details are very complicated, but the basic idea is really quite simple.
And this is in just about any species, correct?
It is. It's amazing how much consistency there is across widely different species. Certainly within mammals, the similarities are remarkable. One of the reasons why, you know, dogs are so great to work with in this area is because they age very much like humans do. And so we can get a lot of insight from studying aging and treating it in dogs.
Tell me about the drugs that we're looking at here. And I'm looking at 001, 2, and 3, right?
So we have basically two general programs. The first targets the fact that large dogs have shorter lives than small dogs. And that's kind of a weird thing in biology. In biology, bigger animals tend to live longer, right? You know, humans live longer than dogs, elephants live longer than mice. But we've bred dogs very intensively. We've selected them over hundreds of years for characteristics that aren't particularly natural. And one of those is really, really large body size. And it turns out some of the hormonal changes that we've created in order to make dogs really, really big, make them age faster. So the bigger a dog is, the shorter their lifespan. And we think we have some idea as to what the reason for that is. And so LOI-01 and LOI-03 are both drugs that are targeting some of the hormones that lead to dogs getting really large and also aging at an accelerated rate. Then our other program, LOI-02, targets the general metabolic decline that occurs in dogs just as it does in people as we get older. A lot of our processes for taking in and using energy and building tissues and making fats and building protein and making muscle, all of those things get kind of out of whack as we get older. And we think that tinkering with that system to keep a person or a dog more metabolically healthy will delay the onset of age-related diseases.
Do these drugs target a specific organ or organs, or is it the entire body, head to toe?
That's the wonderful thing about aging, is that it really is an underlying risk factor for disease in almost every part of the body. And so these drugs are intended to target some of the core mechanisms of aging that can affect health in a variety of different parts of the body.
Have there ever been any anti-aging trials in other animals besides dogs?
Absolutely. There is decades of research data in a lot of different species. The vast majority of those are lab animals, things like roundworms or rats or mice. But there are studies in dogs and in monkeys, even a few studies in humans, looking at how aging biology works. So we have a really good understanding of the underlying biology and also how we can manipulate it. A great example is something called caloric restriction. If you feed to an animal like a dog, then there was a study done by Purina about 20 years ago. You feed a dog to a nice, normal, healthy body weight, that's great. They're going to live longer than a dog that's overweight. But it turns out if you feed them even less than they need for a normal, healthy body weight, if you cut those calories back as much as you can without making them malnourished, you can get an even longer period of healthy lifespan. And that's been done in rats and mice and dogs and monkeys and just about every species out there. So we know it's possible to target aging to extend health and delay age-related diseases. Now we're just looking for efficient, practical ways to do it in the real world.
Tell me about these three drugs, LOI-001, 2, and 3. Now, are these pills? Would these be injections? How would it work?
So LOI-001, which is one of the drugs that targets the accelerated aging in large breed dogs, would be an injectable product, probably given every 3 to 6 months. LOI-003 would be hopefully a daily oral version of the same thing so that we can give veterinarians and owners some options for the best way to approach this problem. And then LOI-002 is also a daily chewable tablet.
So what would the effect be then? Would the animal age more slowly? Would it never get sick?
So the idea is that we preserve the robustness and resilience of a normal, healthy young animal. You know, young people and young animals are harder to injure. They get sick less often. They tend to recover faster. And as we age, we become more vulnerable. And so the idea is that we extend that period of healthy, robust, resilient physiology so that the diseases that we get with age will probably come eventually, but they'll come later in life. And hopefully there'll be a longer period of good health, good function, good quality of life. So it's a preventative medicine strategy. We're not treating a disease. We're treating some of the underlying risks that lead to a whole bunch of different diseases.
You say extend. Extend by how much? A year? What's ideal? What are you hoping for? A year, two, five, 10?
as much as possible. I mean, the reality is I don't think any of us are talking about immortality. I think that sometimes people get carried away in the longevity field. I think that the studies that we are doing with the FDA to get these drugs approved have been designed to test for at least a year difference between dogs on the drug and dogs taking the placebo. And that has to do with just how you design a study and how many dogs and how long it lasts. So we talk about a year a lot because that's what we've built our studies to detect. We think it's very likely that we might even get a longer extension of lifespan if we start earlier in life. But that's what science is all about, right? Is experimenting and finding out. So my feeling is that we think a year is a reasonable target, but it wouldn't surprise me if we get a better outcome in the long run.
You know, a year or two, that doesn't sound like a lot, but I know a lot of dog owners who would jump on that.
And if you think about it in terms of the lifespan of a dog versus a human, you know, if a human lives roughly on average 7 or 10 times longer than a dog does, a year is a good 7 to 10 years of human life. I mean, it's a meaningful amount of time. And I agree. I've been a veterinarian for 25 years and I've helped an awful lot of people say goodbye to their dogs. And I don't know any of them that wouldn't gratefully take that extra year.
What would the quality of that extra year, the quality of life in that extra year be like?
That's the entire focus of our program, is to extend healthy lifespan. And I know that people are concerned about the idea that animals would live longer but would be sick during that time. And a lot of that is because that's the experience we sometimes see in humans when we treat diseases after they occur. But the goal here is a preventative medicine approach. If we can delay the start of these age-related diseases, then we're keeping those dogs healthier and functional for longer. So any extra time they get is good quality time. And the sad reality is that the vast majority of our pets pass away because we choose to let them go because their quality of life is no longer acceptable. So if we extend quality of life and if we preserve health, we automatically extend lifespan. And that's really the way we're approaching this.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I know a lot of people with pets would do pretty much anything to spend more time with them, but a lot of us pet owners are worried about messing too much with animal biology.
We can see how breeding, for example, can eventually lead to conditions that make the life of a dog harder and shorter.
But as Smithsonian Magazine noted, manipulating the way dogs age does seem to come with some of the same ethical conundrums, or does it?
Let's see what McKinsey said.
What would you say to someone? And I'm sure you've run into these people who say you're interfering in God's domain. You're tampering with nature.
I mean, the first thing I would say is we already have. As I pointed out before, there's nothing natural about a pug or an Irish wolfhound. These are creatures we've created through intensive breeding. So in some sense, we've created some of their health problems, and I think that gives us a responsibility to try to do something about it. I also point out that for most of human history, it was natural for 50% of our children to die before adulthood. And we didn't accept that as natural, even though it had always been that way. We said, well, that's a problem and let's figure out why and let's do something about it. And we've been very successful at, you know, reducing childhood mortality for our own species. So I don't think there's anything more unnatural about a preventative approach to aging than there is about preventing infectious disease with vaccines or making doctors wash their hands before a delivery so that women don't get septicemia. We look at health problems as something that we should try to do something about to relieve suffering and give people and dogs healthier lives. And I think that's appropriate.
That is a really interesting point you made about the breeding. We kind of brought this on ourselves and now we kind of owe it to the animals to make good.
I agree.
How much more testing and what sort of regulatory approval would be necessary before you can bring these to market?
So we are looking for FDA approval because that's the highest bar that you can set for evidence for a medical product. And there are a couple of stages of that. We are currently running a 4-year clinical lifespan study for LOI-002 called the STAY study, which is going to involve 1,000 dogs. And that is, as far as I can, I've been able to find the largest veterinary drug approval trial ever in history. So it's a really big study. And hopefully at the end of that trial, we will have what's called full approval. So veterinarians can prescribe the drug and use it in a variety of different animals. We are aware that there isn't currently anything available for dog owners or veterinarians to treat aging per se. And so we are actually also looking for something called conditional approval. You have to meet the same safety requirements, the same manufacturing quality requirements as full approval. But because there's nothing out there right now, the FDA is willing to consider allowing us to market this drug earlier if we can provide evidence that it is likely to be effective. And then they give us full approval once we get to the end of the study. So we're hoping to get conditional approval for LOI-001 perhaps next year and LOI-002 the year after. Obviously, it all depends on the science and making sure that we do everything right.
And these would be administered by a vet, I would imagine, not something you do at home?
These are prescription medications, so they would be prescribed by a vet and recommended by veterinarians for patients that were in the right age and size category and if they felt they were appropriate. For the injectable product, that would probably be administered at the veterinarian's office. For the two that are daily oral chewable tablets, those could be given at home, just like common parasite preventative medications are now.
Mike, you mentioned your dog at the top of the episode. Would you have wanted to try this out on them?
I don't know. I don't want to get into the whole, you know, tampering in God's domain thing.
I like the way Mackenzie explained it in that it's more of a preventative measure at a younger age than doing too much as the dog starts to age a little bit.
You mentioned that you've had to help people put down pets a lot, and I'm sure you've had a few as well. Is there anyone that you would have loved to have had these drugs available for?
I mean, the reality is all of them, right? Because I loved all of them, and it was always hard to say goodbye. The one that I think always comes to mind first is a dog I had named Gromit. He was a 75-pound big Rottweiler Akita mix, very terrifying looking, very sweet and cuddly and wonderful. And he lived to 16 years, which is a remarkable age for a dog that size. The end of his life was not any particular disease. It was eventually the wear and tear of time on his body so that he couldn't get up and walk and chase a ball and do the things he wanted to do. And I had to let him go because he wasn't enjoying his life. And that was especially frustrating for me because I couldn't even blame a particular disease. It was just age. It was just time. And I would love to have something available to slow that process down for my own pets.
I'm Mike Rogers, and thanks so much for listening to Something Offbeats. This episode written and produced by Lauren Berry and Chris Blake, with audio editing by Chris Blake, original music by Myron Kaplan, and editorial support from Cooper Mall. To keep listening, please subscribe to us on the Odyssey app or Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts. And if you have your own offbeat story that you think we should cover, let us know about it. Send it to us at somethingoffbeats@Odyssey. That's AUDACY.com.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.